John chapter 10 in your Bibles, and I want you to look with me. Verse 1 of this text, it really presents, I think, a pretty amazing statement. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, the thing that's incredible to me about this text is the application, really, of this parable with three words. And the words are "some other way." You see, Pastor, that's incredible to you, those three words, "some other way." Well, yes, because what it's a reminder of is that man, in his depravity and in his pride, he looks at God, he looks at Christ, the Son of God, he looks at the Word of God, and wanting, in most cases, wanting eternal life, wanting a place in heaven and his sins removed, man looks at the Shepherd and the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, and he says, "Nah, I want some other way." In fact, the picture our Lord is actually painting here is that of a sheepfold, a place of pasture and rest and protection. And yet, instead of going there through the door, through the most obvious and blessed path, they're climbing the hedges. They're breaking in and trying to sneak through, climbing up some other way. And you know, the question is why? Why does man, instead of getting into God's heaven, his prescribed and approved way, why does man insist on going there, quote, some other way, other than the one approved by God? And by the way, for the people of Israel who were listening to the Lord on that day, you realize that the significance of a door was already embedded deep into their faith. In the very first book of Genesis, when God commanded the building of an ark. How many of you believe that story? You believe the story, raise your hands, of Moses in the ark. You believe that? Is Noah in the ark? But I did that on purpose. I don't know. Just trying to get your attention. Yeah, I did that same trick about 30 years ago. And after church, a little guy named Michael Chung came up to me and he said, "Pastor, wasn't Moses also put in an ark as a baby in the Nile, so there is a Moses in the ark?" He was right, of course, and so I looked at him and I said, "Beat it, kid, you bother me." He's been bothering me ever since. You realize that that ark, of which God himself gave Noah instructions, it only had one door. You ever think about this? Do you ever realize that in the entire world that that time, there existed but one door? One solitary door of salvation and security for all of man. Later in the second book of the Bible, as a means of redemption and salvation, there was only one door approved of God. And that door, God said, must be sprinkled with the blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You suppose that was random? When the people of God finally got to journey to the promised land, the city of Jericho, which stood, as you know, against them, fell to the ground, the entire city wall, and yet one house in that wall, and one door alone still stood. And that door, the only door to Canaan, had a scarlet cord hanging from the window above it. The tabernacle, also designed by God himself and instructed by God, only had one door. And God said that that door had to be made of fine linen, pure and white and scarlet and purple woven in. There was only one door to the Holy of Holies and thus the presence of God. So that again, the idea of a door was a powerful picture for all of these people of God. And in fact, for all people for all time, frankly, a door is already, by definition, a strong statement. The difference between an open door and a closed door, a door that's locked or a door that is unlocked. You ever get to a place of business and it looks like it's closed, but you really need to get something from that store, so you just try the door anyway, and it just glides open, and it's like The birds are singing and the choir is, minus Michael Chung, of course, the choir. And of course, you've had the opposite reaction when a place is supposed to be open and the door is closed. It's a visceral reaction. It happened to Benjamin and I on Tuesday night. He wanted Cracker Barrel really bad. And so we drove down to 45th. It was 8 o'clock at night. I drop him off at the front door and I'm going to go park. And when I park, Ben comes to the car and knocks on the window and says, "Dad, it's closed." I said, "No, it's not. It's never closed. I see people inside. It's only closed one day a year at Cracker Barrel." He said, "I think it's closed. I think they're having a party." So I don't believe him. I get out. I go up to the door and it's locked. You ever try the door again and as if something different's going to happen the second time you try it? I tried it three times. And I look in the window and there's all the employees. 3 stars, 4 stars, rising stars. As far as I'm concerned, they're all fallen stars on Tuesday night. Nobody likes a closed or a locked door. And you know, it's amazing because when it comes to heaven, nobody seems to like a single door. One door. John chapter 10 is a chapter about a door. You'll notice what Jesus says in verse 9. "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You see, beloved, the picture of a sheepfold with these listeners was very familiar to them. It was an area of pasture that was enclosed by hedges and sometimes by stones. And of course, for security, there was only one entrance into that fold. And it was the shepherd, the good shepherd, who would literally put himself at that door and sometimes even sleep at the very entrance and thus becoming the door himself. And so if there are wolves who try to get in, they have to go through him. This is why Jesus said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, because the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now look, that brings me to this question again of why. Why would anybody who wants to be a part of the fold of heaven, as it were, why would they refuse the true door and try to climb in some other way? It's what Jesus said. Well, folks, the Bible tells us why. And it tells us that there are basically three reasons that sort of are ingrained in the hearts of men. And some folks in this room right now are using these same reasons in your hearts and minds. For example, the first reason people want some other way is that man thinks, number one, there's a better way. Somehow there's got to be a better way. And again, you know what? You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way back to Cain and Abel, and you'll see that God revealed to them that there was one way and only one door in which to be accepted into his presence. And yet Cain looked at that sacrificial lamb and he said, "I know a better way." This is a tendency that runs absolutely across the board with men and women and human nature. 30 plus years ago, back when we were on Center Street, we had a men's work day. Brother Remo and I were out planting impatiens in Lariope on the north side of the building. In those days, we had a parking lot in the front. And we're out there on our hands and knees, and a man pulls up into that little small parking lot area. He was driving a Rolls Royce, not unusual in Palm Beach County, but pretty unusual in our parking lot. And so he rolled his window down. And he asked me, he said, "Can you tell me how to get to Blowing Rocks Preserve?" I said, "Sure. Just go right here to the end of Center Street, turn left, take the bridge over the inlet, Loxahatchee River." I said, "Go through the light over the Intercoastal Bridge, Cato's Bridge, and turn left at Jupiter Inlet Colony, just head north, and it's about 4 or 5 miles on the right." He looked at me, and you know what he said? He shook his head. And he said, "There's got to be a better way than that." Now, what do you say to a man like that? I'll tell you what I almost said. I almost said, "You're right, there is. Turn around and just go west and keep going and you'll find it. It's called Tampa." Amen. I'll tell you what I did say when he rolled his window up and started pulling out. I said, "Pardon me, do you have any gray poupon?" Human nature wants Matter of fact, human nature expects a so-called better. How many of you women can testify that in spite of a very clear map, your husband has a better way to get there? And you know, at its root, that's one of the main reasons why in America there are so many religions, because man insists on a better way. But here's the thing. Not only, beloved, is there no other way, but equally as true is the truth that there's no better way. Do you realize what Jesus says, the Son of God, what the Bible says about him just in this text? Look at a couple verses. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." He says in verse 11, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine." He says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In other words, look, folks, he cares, he died, he lives, he hears, he knows, he provides, he protects. How in the world is a cult or politics, how is religion better than that? How is idolatry or reincarnation or astrology or pantheism, how is anything better than him, some other way? Number one, man wants a better way. The second thing you'll notice, number two, is that man wants a broader way. What do you mean, Pastor? Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, many people choose to take this broader way. They take this broader way, even though, he said, that one leads to destruction, because it gives the false impression that somehow it's more inclusive. And of course, inclusive is one of the buzzwords of our generation. It's also one of the most misunderstood. You see, friends, Christianity, the gospel, is the most inclusive message in all of the world. You know why? Because the message is to whosoever will. The message is God so loved the world. The message is to the Jew and also the Gentiles. The message in verse 9 says, if any man, if any. You see, the problem with some is not who can go in. The problem is how they go in. In other words, they just don't want to go through the door. They want lots of doors. Tons of doors. In fact, as many doors as there are people, because, you know, you have the right to make your own door. You have the right to believe in your own door. It sounds so inclusive, except, of course, there are terrorists who believe that his door to heaven is killing the likes of you. And if you say he's wrong, you're not being, quote, inclusive, rejecting his door and millions of devout people who believe the same thing. And they say, can't we just make it a broader way? That's what man wants. But here's what God says. Verse 7, don't miss a word of this, would you? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, that's truly, truly, two exclamation points at the beginning of a sentence. He's trying to get their attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's not hard to understand. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know what, Pastor Blaylock, how do we know that what Jesus said is true? Well, read the next chapter. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And then read the next few chapters where he himself is resurrected from the dead. And you decide, was Jesus lying, or indeed is he the door and the only door? Just don't forget, dear friend, that billions of people in history have had their hearts and lives transformed by believing that Jesus, who is alive, is the door. A broader way? It's one of the reasons why some people are seeking, quote, some other way. But I remind you of what Jesus said when he said, broad, broad is the way to destruction. One of the great fallacies you often hear is there are so many religions, how do you know which one to believe? There aren't so many religions. There's one narrow road and one broad road. Just pick the one you want. It's either Jesus the door or all these other false doors. There's only two. Some people want a better way. Some people want a broader way. Number three, and finally, some people want to go through the door because they just flat out want a boastful way. They won't go through that door. Meaning they want their own way. Let me remind you what Paul said, and we're almost done. He said in Ephesians 2, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And you know something? Sometimes people don't go through the true door just because they want to boast. I'm good enough. I'm religious enough. I'm righteous enough. I'm sincere enough. I'm even smart enough. And so they assume that they can climb into the fold, quote, some other way. The problem is Jesus made it very clear. In verse 1, they are thieves and robbers, and thieves and robbers will never boast in the presence of God. Who will be in the presence of God? Who will boast? Nobody. But those who go through the door, those who put their faith in God's only begotten Son, they won't boast in God's presence, but they will bask in God's presence, and they will do so for all of eternity. Here's what he said in verse 28. I give unto them eternal life. Don't earn it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Some other way? A better way? A broader way? A boastful way? Why not decide this morning that you will go into heaven the Bible way, God's way, which is the only way? You know, if man's greatest need was education, God would have sent us a professor. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist or an engineer. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need is salvation. Our greatest need is forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. In fact, He came Himself, as they sang so beautifully moments ago. He came Himself as our Savior. I am the door, Jesus said, who giveth His life for the sheep. He says, I'm the door. Not a door. Not another door, not any door, not even the best door. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name, no other religious leader or figure. No ism. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other. Why? Because the only door is Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the promise that I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of your hand. I thank you, Father, for the gift of music. You put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God, for how you've blessed our hearts with the fellowship of the saints today. But I also pray, Father, for those in this room, so many who raise their hand for salvation. Perhaps some opened their heart to Christ a moment ago. I pray you'll continue to use us, this church, your people as instruments to bringing them to your cross, to the door of salvation. For many in this room, no doubt, who did not even raise their hand, convict them, Lord. May they not rest today or tonight till they recognize that life is short and eternity lasts forever. And there's only one door to the sheepfold. I pray you'll bless the service tonight, Lord. Be with us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.